Yeah, you know, this is really bothersome. You know, when you talk about studies where there's, you know, less than 1 month difference in, you know, progression-free or overall survival. And I just wonder when, you know, we're participating, you all put patients on this study, we could just refuse to do that. But, you know, is the problem that we have studies, these huge studies like that, or is maybe a correlated problem that we don't insist upon having biologic translational studies as part of it? You know, we had this huge CALGB breast cancer study presented at ASCO, you know, NAB versus paclitaxel versus Ix. And, you know, from the beginning, you could say, well, gee, that doesn't look that exciting. But I was like, well, let's see what the biology shows. But they didn't have any of that yet.
But you know, this study actually was interesting because it reaffirms paclitaxel standard of care. It actually has exactly the opposite effect. I mean, it confirmed a very cheap, very old standard of care. So I actually think this study was useful. Now, coming back to the correct study, for instance, regorafenib, where we didn't select for biomarkers, a patient population unmet need, it was 760 patients, large study. Now, the benefit of having a large study is now we can really tease out biomarkers retrospectively and say, you know, if we didn't have the large study, we could not do that with annotated biospecimen. And the similar is, I think, is true for when the KRAS study, I mean, when the EGF receptor antibodies were tested in colon cancer last line, if they didn't have biospecimen in the panitumumab trial, they would have never come to the finding, which was one of the greatest findings in colon cancer in recent years, that KRAS mutant tumors don't benefit. So I think there is a struggle, and we recently had a meeting, a clinical trials planning meeting, in terms of how to move trials forward in colorectal cancer. And there are the lumpers and the splitters. Should you now dissect patient populations into small biomarker-driven subsets, or should you run large trials, annotate biospecimen, and then try to find correlation between a certain marker and outcome on a certain therapy? And I think this is something which we have been struggling with and will continue to struggle for a long time.
And Neil, of course, the dilemma for those of us around this table, our view is not matched by the industry that is looking to develop drugs and has a metric that can get them a drug developed and marketed that may not meet what would be our ideal. And again, that gets a little bit back to what I've said. I've been at the podium for two of the last three ASCOs discussing ex-US studies, which is how much of the research is being done elsewhere. Largely, not only, but largely with a great deal of driving from the pharmaceutical industry. And on the other hand, we all participate in studies that look for small differences. Now, if you're aggressive in getting tissue, then again, it may be worth doing. But so this is a conflict that I think we all face.
And you know, when you're just talking about your study, 8405, we all agree that it will not meet its primary endpoint.
Right.
Which, I mean, there's not going to be a difference in overall survival. Still, it's a very important study because you have with all the biospecimen biomarker studies and the question of patient selection for first-line anti-VEGF or anti-EGF receptor therapy. I mean, even if we know there will not be the study can only be negative for its primary endpoint, but it's still a very important study.
Right, but that's again with tissue acquisition.
Absolutely.
I think the pox on the studies that are being done in this era that don't have tissue biorepositories, that just shouldn't be acceptable, I don't think.